Welcome to your internet audio trip across the country, the 2K Way. A fact-filled 30 minutes of people, product, and lakes from coast to coast. And now your host, MC Ray.
Welcome to the first installment of the 2K Way. It's the newest episode, program, series on the Doc Talk Radio / Podcast Network. What the 2K Way is basically we're going to take a look across the country with the various crew members that belong to Custom Kicker Jigs crew. You know, the most fitting way to start the show, I guess, other than crew members, is to talk to the man himself, the founder of the company, get some background on the company, why the company is, you know, what the company's doing. And then from there, future episodes, we're going to talk to the various crew members from like California, Georgia. I believe there's one or two in Texas, basically all over the country. So on that note, we're going to get started with the man himself, Dan Hetchew. I always want to say God bless you after I say your last name.
Yeah, I haven't heard that about a million times in my life.
You know what? Let's start from the beginning. Where did the idea for Custom Kicker Jigs start? And how did you get the company rolling?
Well, I guess it would have started. I fished probably the bigger circuit on the west side of the state called Lake Drive Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my partner qualified for a classic up in Manistee. And we've been pretty big jig fishermen. We got some fish pinned down about 20 miles north up Lake Michigan in Arcadia, and we went up there pre-fishing. We got a bite on some living rubber jigs, and then we started shopping around looking for any and every jig we could find to kind of match that profile. Couldn't really find what we were looking for exactly, but made use of what we had. And ended up doing pretty good in the tournament. I think we took 11th in the classic, one spot out of the money. But after that, we decided that, you know what, they don't have what we want, so we're going to make what we need. And that's kind of the basis of how we got going.
You know what, I think, correct me if I'm mistaken, now you're in the industry now, very heavy. So you talk to a lot of other manufacturers, guys who start in their garages. I think I hear that quite a bit, that it starts out of necessity. We can't find what we need. We can't find what's good. So you end up making it yourself. You think that holds true?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a part of it. The other part of it may just be, they like doing it type of deal, or I can do it for cheaper, make my own plastic baits cheaper than what I can buy them. But, I think that's probably the biggest deal, is not being able to find what you're looking for. And I mean, there's a lot of jigs out there that got great qualities, you know, that we caught fish on a long time before we started 2K. And there just really wasn't a jig that had the whole package, you know, quality paint, a hand-tied skirt, the right colors of skirting material, the best hooks, the best head design. So it was hard to find a jig that had all that wrapped up into one.
All right.
And it makes sense, because, you know, the margins and profits on jigs are so small that other companies got to cut corners here and there and sell their bait for less to make their money. And, that's just something that we didn't get into and probably never will. You know, we're never going to outsource to China and save a nickel. American made, American built, and that's the way it will stay, so...
Well, that's good to know. When did the company go, hey, you can buy your jigs from me? When did you guys actually hit the market?
We decided we were going to come out with a jig, and we were going to do the old do-it mold deal. And I ended up running into a guy by the name of Joe Remmel. He owned KMR Lure about an hour north of me. Joe's been in the industry for about 30 years and one of the best minds in the lead business period in the country.
Yep.
And, yeah, a long time. And kind of after talking with him for about 3 hours, I decided the do-it mold is definitely not the way to go. And we took a couple of his stock items to start the company. And after about 3 months, we finally got our first jig that we designed and made up from him, and that was the Freak. And I've always had that design of that jig in my mind, and it came to life. And we, I think it was about three different prototypes before we got it perfect. And we went out the first time, and I actually caught over 20 fish with not one being under 4 pounds to start with that jig. So I knew we had a winner, and that jig kind of built the company, and slowly growing ever since.
20 fish. Now, that was your, was that literally your first day out with that jig?
Yeah, and, the first day fishing. I mean, we've thrown it into swimming pools and stuff like that to try and get right. Great action with the eye left and the hook, skirt, and all that stuff. But yeah, the first day out, actually the first cast, we have a video on YouTube, the first time we took that Freak out, and you know, people are going to say it's edited or you did this, you did that. But the first cast of that jig, we caught a fish. I caught a fish maybe over 6 pounds on the first cast.
Okay, well.
And then it was kind of all over after that.
Yeah, I was going to say at that point, how can you say, I mean, it's like, okay, this product works, period. We've got it here. Let's take it to market now.
Yeah, that's about all it went down, yeah.
Okay, so then after the Freak, what came next after that?
We just continued to develop jigs, you know, along with the Doc Monkey. We came up with a series of swinging hook ideas with the Head Rush, Ledge Rush. And I mean, we also have a few jigs that are just staples, like the football jig, you know, the round head jig. There's some jigs out there you just can't mess with. They've worked for decades and there's no sense messing with them, so we're going to continue to go with them.
Right.
But we have a lot of different head design stuff like that we continue to go with, and we ran that for I would say a couple years, and then you know, the newest idea we had was that deposit swim jig, and we had a couple serious fishermen help with the design of that, and Don Watts and Troy Hollowell, and Don done real well over here last year with that jig.
Yeah, he did.
Troy made a couple $10,000 off of the FLW with it,
right.
So we launched that right after his top 20 cut in FLW. He had like 17 pounds with three casts, two fish, three casts, 17 pounds. So we decided to launch it right after we got news of that.
Yeah, that I remember seeing the picture of that, and it was just incredible. I mean, he had some big fish on that. What do you think your best seller is today?
No doubt about the deposit swim jig. Yeah, we actually started that halfway through the season last year, and the bluegill and the crappie color were 1 and 2 sales for that jig, or for the whole company.
Nice.
With only half a year sales. So there's no doubt about it. It's continuing to grow. We added another size to it this year, along with 6 more colors, and it's opened the doors to a lot of different retail avenues too with that jig, so we're happy with it. And, you know, we're always pushing forward. We got another design in the works that Troy's helping us with for a swim bait head. And you've never seen anything like it. That's about all I can say. And if it works out, it's going to be another game changer. So.
Nice, nice. Now, when you started the company, you're like, you know what, let's just make our own. Let's do this. Let's do that. Did you set out and say, okay, my goal is going to be, I want this now in every single store. I want to become the premier jig manufacturer across the country. Or would you have just been happy with, you know, hey, I'm selling them locally. I'm good in Michigan. Everybody's happy. Have a nice day. You know, I'm covering my expenses. Things are good. Or.
Yeah, when we started, it was one of those deals. We just wanted to make a little money, have a little fun. And, I realized within about 3 months that that's definitely not the path to take. And we had no ambitions of going after retailers when we started. We're going to sell, you know, direct to consumer. And we thought we had it all figured out. And about 3 months later, I decided this is definitely not the way to go. And since then, we've been pushing the retail market pretty hard. And as far as being satisfied, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied.
That's a good trait to have. Really is. Something I've noticed about 2K is the fact that they cater to the angler, and it's not just the high level guys and all of that. You cater to the guys that are throwing the tournaments and the weekend. We'll just call them weekend warriors with no disrespect. But then you turn around and you're all about getting it in the retail, the business end. You run this as a business, which it is, but still you have that grassroots feel to the entire company. You follow what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we have maybe 300 staff members combined between the crew and our pro staff. And there's not many other companies out there that do the amount of sales that we do that still have those connections with the staff members or the customers. I mean, I'm always available to talk. I stay active with these guys. I want to know their personal life, their fishing life. We try to keep it as close to a family as we can. We're still having that business aspect behind it, where the guys that are on our team know that their job is to make the company money, period. And if you're not doing that, there's another guy on the list waiting to do it. So we keep it very competitive, but we also take care of our guys that take care of us.
Well, see, that's it. I think you found that fine line between this is a business, this is what feeds my family, this is what I am building. We'll just call it, this is what I'm going to build my fishing legacy on. But yet, all of these guys on your crew, on the 2K, the crew page, and all of your members, they can really hit you or Josh up almost anytime on that page, ask a question, give you input. You take ideas very well. You still tie in, if people want custom colors, you're still doing that, correct or no?
Yeah, we do it for our staff members.
Right.
And that's one thing. When we started out, we did a lot of custom colors and when we were doing consumer. And, you know, you just really can't make money doing custom colors. I mean, it's just not going to happen. If you got to sit down and make every skirt the same, this is not going to happen. You know, so we had to come out with a stock line. I think we have 36 different colors that we stock. And it allows you to manufacture just so much faster.
Well, your stock line,
as far as staff members, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, your stock line kicks ass. I don't care what anybody says, your colors in there are phenomenal. I mean, they're fantastic colors. They really, really are. You don't have to look very much further than that color chart, you know, unless like some of the anglers that I've already talked to, you know, one guy, he actually color codes each individual lake by him with different colors. But I think that was an interesting conversation. But I think you have in your color spectrum pretty much anything anybody could want. I mean, that works. It actually produces fish.
Right. Well, I'm a big believer in it doesn't take much to catch a bass, you know, and the guys that want one strand of this, two strands of that, it's more of a confidence deal for them and not so much of a fish catcher. And when guys first come on with us or first customers with us, they want me to make, you know, this color. Can you make this color? And I just tell them, you know, try our stock line. And if you can't be successful with it, then we'll talk. And, they never come back, you know. And I've changed over a few of my close friends that thought they needed this or that, and they use our stock colors, and it just catches fish. You know, water clarity, vegetation, stuff like that, I think, plays a part in what skirt color to use. But there's only so many shades of a green you can use, and whether it really matters or not, you know, that's up to the bass. But if you ask me, I think you can only do so much. So,
agree.
And that's kind of how we run our colors.
Well, you run a colors work. Now, how long are you in, let's call it R&D, research and development. How long do you work on, let's take the dock monkey, that particular, the head design, the angle of the hook, the brush guard, how many fibers are in that brush guard? How high is the brush guard? Because something I've noticed, I've talked to, I think I've talked to 5 or 6 crew members already for this program. And each one of them, I believe each one of them has said they fish it right out of the box. They don't have to trim the weed guard. They don't have to do this. They don't have to do that. It just works out of the box. So how long are you in research and development in we'll take the Dock Monkey, for instance, before you were comfortable going, you know what, this one's ready to go?
Well, the Dock Monkey came pretty quick. So I would say that was probably a six-month deal. And working on that, we have I have a select group of people we call the 2K board, and we get together and we go over ideas, and then we take them ideas and we send them out to some pretty good fishermen, have them test them, and once we get the head design down, you know, then it's figuring out how to cast it and paint it and skirt it, and it normally takes about, I would say, probably a year from the time we think up an idea to the time that we have a packaging and UPC and ready to sell is probably about a year.
Nice. So you take into account everything, correct? I mean, the brush guard count, the brush guard height, the angle of the hook, the angle of the eyelet, how far the eyelet actually is inset into the lead versus sticking all the way out of the lead. You know, the color of the paint. I know when you and I discussed the color of the paint way back when. And yeah, I know.
Yeah, we still got that color.
That's my favorite color. So, I mean, you look at each individual component. You talk to the board and you let the anglers, some of your anglers, throw them, protos, if we will. And then they come back to you with the feedback, and you just keep, what, nipping, snipping, hacking, adding until it's like, this is what we need?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. It's add a little bit here, take away a little bit here, try this, try that. And then at some point, you know, you got to really put in perspective that it's just a jig, you know? It's just a jig. You can only do so much. But you know what you can and can't do. You know the limitations. Mm-hmm. You try to make every piece perfect, you know, knowing the limitations behind it. I mean, we're not building a rocket ship here.
Right.
So we take that into consideration. And by no means does everyone that we make hit a home run. We got a lot of different samples here that never went anywhere. So I would say probably for every 10 ideas we got, I'll be lucky if we get one out of it.
Well, if that one idea out of every 10 is like the deposit or the Dock Monkey, then, I mean, pretty much you're hitting home runs. You don't need much more than that. Now, I want to ask you a question. Let's talk about, okay, after you've designed it and you've got all of that together and this is what you want, the next thing that comes into play is the quality of the build, which that's what sold me on your product, was the quality of how these things are put together. I've been to your shop. It's a shop. It's not a humongous, ginormous shop. It's a fairly good size shop, but with the amount of jigs that you're putting out right now, one, how do you keep the quality control in check? And I'm going to say that because I purchased last year quite a few jigs from you. You know this. I went through each one individually and just took a look at them, and not a single one of them was out of place. How do you keep the quality in check? And two, second part of that is the build. How do you build them? You've got your wire wrap, you've got your certain length. Just describe going through the build of a Dock Monkey and the quality process.
I mean, number one on the quality is I basically have my hands on every piece of product that leaves the shop. We do have people that help with a manufacturing standpoint, but I make sure I get an eye on everything that leaves. I play a big part in every process of the building, so I think that helps with the quality control. And the guys I got working for me have been doing it right along with me, so they got a good eye. They know we can't send out anything. We're not selling a $3 jig, you know. So if we send out $3 quality, the business is going to go down pretty fast. So, I mean, that's key on the quality control. As far as manufacturing it, we do all spin cast here. We have, I don't know, 600-700 molds. Put them in the spin cast machine, spin the lead, pull the mold out.
Let me interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you, Dan. Dan, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Yeah. Okay, for everybody that's listening, I'm going to walk through this real quick because I guess maybe I've assumed, and maybe Dan did assume too, you guys know what's going on. You don't. His custom kicker jigs, he does not outsource his product. He does not bring in lead heads with hooks and brush guards already in them. He makes these heads in the shop, the same shop that paints them, the same shop that puts the wire on them, the same shop that puts the rubber in them. Everything is done in his house. Nothing is outsourced from various retailers online. We all know who they are. Everything starts from nothing to something in this shop. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I kind of wanted people to understand that you take a hunk of lead and a single hook, and that's where you start when you build these jigs, correct?
Correct, yep.
Okay, so from there, after you've done the spin, can you talk to us just a little bit about the spin casting process and how that works, if it's not a trade secret?
No, I mean, it's not. Anyone can buy them if they got the money to pay for them, but basically, it's a machine. You place a silicone disc mold into this machine, and it clamps down, and it spins it at a revolution, whatever you're asking it to do, fast, slow, medium. Pour the lead in it, and that's where it gets hard, is the speed you pour the lead to make sure that it's going to fill that mold up. And it runs for about a minute or two, and you pull it out of this machine and pop the mold out and kick the jigs. And the big reason you do a spin cast over like a hand pour is one, speed, two, quality. You're going to get a lot better finish on the lead. You don't really have to sand down anything. You can flash a little bit. It speeds up real fast, multiple molds, multiple cavities. So that's a spin cast idea. From there, we bring it to paint. We rack it up in our paint racks. Every jig we sell is a hand paint, vinyl or acrylic paint. We don't do a powder paint. Me personally, I'm not a fan of powder, so that's why we do the hand paint. From there, it bakes in the oven overnight and pull out of there. Then it goes to the other side of the shop here where we do the skirting. We have we pre-make all of our skirts and box them up in-house, so when it's time to tie, we can go to it there, slip the skirts on, tie the skirts, goes to weed guarding, weed guard to packaging, boxed up, out the door.
And that, friends and people who are listening, is why you have a quality product, because it does not take 15 minutes to make this. It's made with heart. I mean, the bottom line, I understand it's just a piece of fishing equipment, but fishermen are very passionate about everything, and I think your product's made with a lot of heart and a lot of interest or pride in the fact that, hey, we, bottom line, have the number one jig in the country. We just have to make sure we get it out there so everybody knows it. That's just my opinion, and I'm not blowing smoke up your butt. I'm just saying, dude, seriously, I think you've got the number one jig in the country. People just have to be aware of it and build some confidence and say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and buy one or two, or I'm going to steal one or two off, you know, Joe over here, and I'm going to throw them.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that we have the best product on the market. The components speak for itself. How we manufacture it speaks for itself. The retailers that we're in, the trust that we have from the retailers, our product speaks for itself. And then the question is just how do you get every angler in the world to buy a box or buy five boxes of your product? You know, that's where it comes into play, because anybody can make a product. The key is can you get people to buy the product? And that's where we're at now. Is we know we have a superior product. It's the marketing behind selling that product is where it gets tough. Not so much of building a product, but building a brand.
Right.
And building a brand. Once you can control that, sky's the limit.
It's called world domination. But I think a lot of businesses, they don't look at that fact that you know what, we can't, exactly what you just said, we can build the best product. marketing. How are we going to get it out there? I'll worry about that when I get to that point. People don't really, when they're starting these businesses, and I'm talking whether it's a jig company or a soft plastic company or a widget company or even a small video company or something like that, they don't understand you may be able to do X, Y, and Z with no problem, but you've got to get it out there because the people out there are the ones that have to use the product for you to stay in business.
It makes it, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame on how the business works. It's the manufacturing side to the marketing side and putting the key pieces into place to make it work. And I think we've done a pretty good job in the time we've had it out. And we've built a great product where a large retailer like Dick's Sporting Goods contacts us. We never contacted Dick's. They contacted us and said, hey, your product's awesome. We want to take a look at it. And we built a great relationship with them. And now it's getting pushed into the Field and Stream stores throughout the nation for 2015. So we're very happy about that. And I think that's going to help build the brand too. Getting into a retailer like that where people can see it, more avenues for people to buy it. And hopefully we can branch out with even more retailers.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure you will. Now, why did you opt for living rubber in a lot of your products? I mean, because look at this. Look at a lot of the jigs out, dude. A lot of people are just using that silicone stuff, and it's all flat banding, yeah. and it's a rubber band up there instead of copper wire or whatever. Why did you go with living rubber?
Personally, I'm a huge fan of living rubber. I don't throw a jig without living rubber in it, and most of the time, my jigs only have living rubber in it that I use personally. I think it presents a great presentation to the fish. I like the way it opens up, the way it blows. The silicone's added for that color that the fishermen want to see, the fish want to see. And now they got that new reptile rubber, which I think we may be the only manufacturer that's manufacturing that skirt nationally right now. And it gives you all of the characteristics of silicone, but in the rubber.
Yeah.
That's a big deal behind it is we like the presentation, and I think that it's a superior product compared to silicone, the way it lasts, and especially when you tie it the way that I tie, it also helps it blow up and make that big presentation for fish, which I like.
That's what I like about
it,
too.
That's the basics behind doing it. And tying the jig is almost an art in itself. You can look at a lot of companies' ties that they're doing a copper tie, and I doubt that any one of them would be the same. Guys look at my, they go, yeah, Dan Hatch, you tied that, or so-and-so tied this. If they can really look at that tie and see what it looks like and they pay attention to it, you can tell the difference in the ties.
Mm-hmm. Yours are stacked. I mean, yours are stacked almost meticulously, the coils, if you will, around each one. And then that's what I like about it is the living rubber and the way that you tie and stack the coils. When that jig hits the bottom, that thing just goes poof, and it opens up right now. And it's like it's got a real nice, it just flares out, opens up nice. And there's a nice depth between the inner skirt and the outer skirt. Because of the tie. So it gives you almost a 3D look. Well, it is 3D because it's, you know what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You have a different depth. You have a totally different depth with these jigs because of the way it's tied, because of the living rubber, and the gap between the inside and the outside due to the coil gives you a larger flare and I think a faster flare. And sometimes, last year,
and that's key right there is the speed.
Yep. And I think that's where a lot of my bites came from last year was, I mean, as soon as it would hit, I'd feel it hit and then it'd get picked up. And I think it was due to the way that flare opened and how quick it opened when it hit. It just didn't really lollygag around going, okay, I'm going to open up now, dude. It just kind of, when it hits it, poof, and it's open.
That is correct.
Okay, good. I'm glad I made a little bit of sense. Where do you see, in all honesty, where do you see 2K going in? We'll just give it the next year because we're early in 2015.
Well, I will say that so far in 2015, we've already broke the best quarter we've had in company history. So
nice.
I think we're on the right track as far as 2015 goes. You know, I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't give any predictions, but I would say we're going to continue to grow and hopefully we can pick up a few different box store accounts that we're in talks with now, and that hopefully will put us over the edge. I hope to expand the relationship we have with Dixon Field and Stream and keep that going. And I don't see any way we're going to slow down, really. I mean, the growth has been there year to year. We're starting to catch a little bit of national fire right now, and I can see it in the orders and the retailers that we're picking up. And it looks promising, and hopefully our guys on that pro circuit can do some work with Troy Hollowell and Michael Neal, and if they can't get themselves a good win on one of our products, I think that would help us out also. So
yeah, those type of wins tend to go a long way.
For the stars, I mean, we're not going to stop. We're hopefully we take over the entire industry. I mean, I shouldn't even say hopefully. It's going to happen. How long is it going to take is the question. But we ain't going to stop until we get there for sure.
Good deal. Got to have that goal, man. If you ain't got the goal, you ain't got nothing. Okay, let me ask you why. Let's jump to the 2K crew. Where did you get the idea to start? You know, you have your pro staff, and then you have the 2K mm-hmm. crew, which is different than a lot of other manufacturers and people that are, you know, in the fishing game, if you will, the bass game. So where did you get the idea to start the 2K crew? Why? And second part would be the 2K Crew Facebook page. Why did you start that?
Okay, so we started the company out with a quote-unquote pro staff, with that word pro meaning promotional staff and not professional angler
right.
by any means. And I think we have a total of 12 anglers on our pro staff. And these are anglers that have been with us for... You know, basically, since the company started, know the product real well, have sold the product to retailers at a high rate, have made the company large amounts of money, and that was key to any business successes. Obviously, making money.
Mm-hmm.
We keep that team very small. We don't allow any and everybody into it. It's one of them things where you have to prove to us that you put the time in, you know the product, you can sell the product, you believe in the product. And normally it takes about a year or two of dominance on your end to make that team. And then we realized that we had to separate the team from guys that want to be at that level of a promotional team and give them the avenue to work to get there. And that's why we started the crew. And we take care of the crew guys with decent compensation, and we ask them to show us what you have. We have no stipulations to be on that crew. You prove to us where you want to go. Do you want to stay on the crew level, or do you want to be on the pro staff team? And we push guys. Like I said before, we make it competitive. Who's doing what? Everybody knows who's promoting, how hard they're promoting, and it builds that competition, and the competition builds excellence.
So, that's what we like.
That's the route behind that.
Okay.
The Facebook crew page, I forget where we had that idea, who came up with it. I'm sure someone will speak up and say that was my idea. I don't know if I can take credit for it, because I don't know if I came up with it or not. But we had one for the pro staff team, And we made one for the crew team maybe a year later, and it works out well. We get a lot of questions and people showing each other what they're doing and what they got, how they're fishing. It's a tight community of anglers helping anglers, really, and not just with 2K jigs, but just with fishing in general. So I've been real happy with it. We got a few guys on the crew that are right on the brink of making that pro staff team, and I'm excited to see what 2015 does for them, and hopefully they can take that final leap and get to the next best thing. So.
Excellent. Now, I've noticed that about the 2K crew page, because I am a member of it. And like you said, they do. They share a lot of ideas. You can pretty much ask anything in there, and it seems like somebody, everybody, is going to give their 2 cents. I've not seen, now this just may be due to great admins, but I have not seen any arguing. There was a subject that came up last week or week before, and everybody spoke their opinion. Nobody got into arguing. Nobody got into a bunch of bullshit. Nobody got into nothing. Everybody respected everybody. Some of the guys go through some personal things. It seems like the crew's there to support them, even though we don't know them. We're still there to support them. And then you break it down to the fish, and you can ask anything you want about any product, what they use. And it seems like everybody's willing to share.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting to get on there. I enjoy it. I think that may be one of the bigger benefits of being on the team, is having that access to knowledge throughout the country, and just giving you something else to do, like you said, with just different topics. Speak your opinion. It makes it fun. It gives the guys, gets them to know each other, mm-hmm. feel more part of the company. I've been very happy with it. And we'll continue to run it. I don't see any reason why we won't, and just keep growing that crew. We add people every year to it, and it keeps getting better. We weed out the ones that don't have what it takes, and keep the good ones. So it's been working out well.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I've had like the local guys around me, and I'm sure the other guys on the 2K crew in other states and stuff like that have the same thing, but people approach me, hey, dude, how do I get on the 2K crew? How do I get on the 2K crew? And all I tell them is this: you go on the 2K website and you fill out the form and they will get back to you. I don't know. That's what you have to do. So real quick, what's it take to get on the 2K crew? But more important, what's it take, and you've touched on a little bit, but we'll just go direct. What's it take to stay on the 2K crew?
Yeah, we do have that link on the website, and that's the only way to get in. Fill out that link, and we kind of do our best background search on you, whether it's find guys in your area, check your media, social media avenues, see what you like on there. Spread the word about you, see if we can find anybody who knows about you. We try to keep X amount of people in different age brackets. We try to keep X amount of people in different regions. We don't want to get too many in one area. Retailer-wise, we want to be able to continue to make sales to the retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And then to stay on is basically, one, fish the product, and two, promote the product. I mean, that's all we ask. If you're gonna buy our product, promote the product, whether it's social media, whether it's at the boat launch, whether it's wearing a shirt or a hat, a sticker on your truck, and that's all we ask. And then if these guys can land us retailers or have ideas of product, you know, we'll take those too. And then it's finding the ones that have the entire package, the ones that can control themselves on social media, promote on social media, make videos, land retailers, fish well with the product. There's very few people out there that are like that have the entire package. And it takes a few years for us to find them, even when they're with us.
Right,
and then when we do, we promote them, you know. So, but not everybody wants to be that guy either, you know. And that's fine with me. If you just want to fish a product, believe in the product, and want to promote, but continue to stay on the crew, you know, that's fine with us. We love our crew members, but there's always that option there for them to grow.
Good deal. That's solid right there. Okay, now let's jump into you and some of your fishing habits. Now, what's your well, first let's start at the beginning. Now, you kind of jumped out of tournaments, and then I think I read a post somewhere you were going to come out of retirement and start fishing tournaments again this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I fished pretty hard from about 2000 to maybe 2012, maybe something like that. It's about 10, 12 years. I fished pretty hard. Just about every tournament over here on the west side of Michigan. I got into 60, 70 tournaments a year.
Nice.
By no means was I even close to the greatest angler over here. We stay competitive. We love to do it. You know, we fish right. a 60, 70 boat tournament, and if we can get a check or get in the top 10 or 5, we were doing pretty good. I mean, we got some sticks over here that you could fish every day of your life and still not beat them. So
right.
It makes it pretty tough. But I've been off for about 2 or 3 years doing it really hard. I would always fish, pick up a couple tournaments here and there. But still don't really have the drive or the passion to fish an 8-hour tournament. I just can't do it. You know, 3 hours I'm pretty good with, you know,
right.
But 8 hours it kills me. You know, I like catching fish. I like catching big fish. I don't like going out there and grinding it and having to outthink the fish. That just seems like a lot of work to me right now. I got buddies that don't have the fish pegged, you know. They'll say, I got them pegged, and then they give me a call, come out and fish tournament with them. Just because they know if they don't, I'm going to be done in about 4 hours and just sitting on the back of the boat fishing at them. that's where I'm at in my fishing deal here. But, I mean, I love going out. If I can go out to a little, you know, 300, 400, 500-acre lake and put a jig on and just go to beating up 4 and 5 pounders, there ain't nothing better than that. You know, so that's what I try to do now. Pick the right day to go, the right time, weather, water temp.
Oh, yeah.
Know that when I go out there, I'm going to be able to catch them. And if I don't, I always can leave whenever I want. Don't have to worry about it. So.
Gotcha. All right. What's your favorite 2K product to throw?
Ooh, well, it basically is whatever I come out with. Whatever's new, that's my favorite. when I had the Freak, I fished that a lot. And I was fishing everywhere, anywhere, time of year, it didn't matter. The Dock Monkey's always stayed a staple in my game, along with the football head, the Red Zone.
Love the Red Zone.
And but now it's that, yeah, now it's that deposit. I mean, that's what I'm fishing. I mean, I'll fish it in anything, anywhere, anytime, and it's a big fish bait, and that's what I like catching. So I would say probably the 3/8 ounce deposit in the bluegill color, and I got a few new colors coming out this year that I haven't got a chance to throw yet, so that may change, but right now it's that 3/8 deposit swim jig in the bluegill color.
All right, so now you've actually gone, I think you've teamed up with, now you're going to have to correct me, but I believe it's Elite Rods, and you couple of rods, I believe you have a couple of rods, and forgive me for not being knowledgeable on that end of the product, but I know you have a swim jig rod that came out, correct?
Yeah, we have a Freak rod that I designed for fishing the Freak jig, and then we just designed a swim jig rod for that deposit, and that just came out the first of the year.
Walk me through that.
Two of them, and that's what I fish.
You know, I'm a huge swim jig. I throw swim jigs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through that that swim jig rod that you designed and you had built through. Is it Elite?
Yeah, it is Elite. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, Dan Bowman, Elite Rods. I actually had a few different anglers help design that. Josh Barnett, our pro staff manager, and Brian Walls, another pro staff member. They both work with Elite. They've been with them for a long time. They've known Dan for years and years back in high school. I kind of had those guys take it over on what they're looking for, and they ran it by me to see what I was looking for. And we're all three of us were looking for the same thing, so it worked out well. It's a medium heavy, extra fast tip, micro guide, split handle. The handle length I feel is perfect for fan casting that jig. It's got the right amount of backbone to it, the right amount of tip, where you can slow roll that swim bait and get the bike and be able to load up on it and get it back to the boat without a problem. Elite makes great products. He's got a great warranty, all handmade. I mean, he does a real nice job. 2Ks will stand behind their product. For sure, we feel they have the same type of brand or same type of product that we sell, you know, top-notch, holds no punches type of deal. I've had success with it. I own, I think, 8 other Elite rods.
Oh, okay.
I used to fish G. Loomis, and I have Dan build my rods for me now, and I've loved them. And so it's not just those two rods, you know. We've got those two, but he also makes a bunch of other rods that about anything you're looking for, and I have, I think, pretty much his whole selection.
All right, good deal. Now, correct me if I'm mistaken, you are running a division for a series over there or something coming up this spring, this fishing season?
Yeah, we 2K Jigs have been sponsors of West Michigan Bass, I think, since we started the company here, and we're good friends with the owners of that, and we fish their circuits and sponsor their deal, and I decided I was going to run a little Wednesday night deal, umbrella it off of that. And, you know, just for fun, you know, a little three-hour tournament, the kind of tournaments that I can stay focused in.
Right.
And we're off. I mean, they got a series that they started last year called The Hair of the Dog, which is a weeknight or weekend series, and we're sponsoring that, giving away free entries for every tournament. 2K is doing that, and then we're also working together with West Michigan Bass and 2K for putting on a 4th of July tournament this year. Going to be out of Muskegon. We're hoping to get some big sponsorship money. I know we have a lot in the works right now. Should be a huge payout. I'm not going to release too much more information on that, but it's looking pretty promising. For that 4th of July tournament, for sure.
Oh, I like that, and I don't have anything going that weekend. Maybe I should come over there and just, like, ride around the lake and wave at everybody or something. I don't know. That's a big body of water.
It's going to be worth it. If everything works out right, it'll be the highest-paying tournament on the west side of Michigan for 2015.
So nice.
Hopefully it works out perfect.
That's just a huge body of water. I don't know if you fish the west side much at all, or, excuse me, east side much at all, but over here, we don't have water like that, unless you go to St. Clair. Now, let's just take St. Clair out of the equation, because that's totally different.
Right.
You come inland, I mean, we're talking 400 or 500 acres is a good lake. I mean, some are bigger, of course, but we don't have big water like you guys do over there.
Yeah, we're blessed on this side of the state. We really are. We don't have St. Clair, but we have great fisheries that you can do just about anything you want. Open water, smallmouth, punching grass mats, fishing timber, ledges, flat. I mean, however you want to fish, you can do it over here. So it makes it nice, especially with the lakeshore lakes, Muskegon and White.
Right.
Those two are probably the staples of this side. But, I mean, the smaller lakes over here are dynamite, too. I mean, we have to have hundreds upon hundreds of lakes. Inland lakes on the west side here, where I can probably drive 15 minutes from the shop and be at 20 or 30 of them. So it's pretty nice.
That's about where I'm located. From where I'm from, if I gave myself like a half an hour drive in any direction, I could probably end up, you know, somewhere around 50, 60 different lakes if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But we just don't have
the
big.
Those are the kind of lakes I like fishing.
Yeah, they're fun, but, you know, sometimes you just, like, sometimes I just, I'd love to have a Muskegon over here, you know, because, but I've never been on Muskegon when it's rough. I know how St. Clair gets. I don't know if it gets like St. Clair, but I'd love to have, like, just a big largemouth lake over here somewhere, a huge one, you know?
Right. Yeah, when Muskegon gets rough, it gets pretty tough, but it gets some good size waves on there, but, I mean, it's all, you can always fish it. You know, Lake Michigan, that's a whole different story. But.
Right. Right. Well, I fished Muskegon with, you know, Jeff Elliott. I came over for the salmon.
Oh, the chosen one.
Yep.
The chosen one.
Yep. Yeah, I came over and fished that with him. I have not fished a bass. Yeah, I did. I fished, what was it? Is there a Reed Lake?
Reed Lake?
Yeah, it has a real funky, like nowhere to park your boat, a pain in the butt to launch.
Yeah, terrible launch. Yeah, that's Reed's.
Yeah, I fished that with Jeff 2 years ago, a tournament there. And that was about it. And that's why I asked you, do you really think it'd be that crazy if someone drove over from here on a Wednesday to fish a 3-4 hour tournament and then drove home?
It'd be pretty crazy on my end. Now, a weekend deal, I think a lot of guys do that. But a weeknight deal, I mean, hell, if you want to come fish on Wednesday night, you're more than welcome to come all the way over.
I'll tell you what, the schedule we're putting on Wednesday nights may be worth you coming over.
Oh, yeah, good lakes?
Yeah, Dynamite Lakes. A lot of guys are happy with what the schedule looks like. Big Fish Lakes, so should be a good time.
Okay. I'll have to check them out. Where are we at? Hey, is there anything you want to bring to the front? Anything you want to talk about?
I think we covered most of it, you know, just... I want to encourage people to get out there and try the product. I mean, if you haven't yet, please do. You won't be disappointed, I guarantee it. Nationally, they're in the Field and Streams now, the deposit swim jig is. Check that out. They got a great price on it. And then I think we're in about 20 big sporting goods stores in Michigan. So if you're local around here, swing in there. They got a pretty good line. Field and Streams actually opening up a new store in Troy, Michigan.
Yep.
Over there on the east side.
Yep.
And I just got word yesterday we're going to have about a 10-foot wall of custom kicker product in that store.
Nice.
So we're going to have a pretty good footprint. So make sure to check that out. I think that opens up March 13th, and I should be in store that day helping promote the product. So you can come say hi to me there.
Oh, I'm gonna if you're going to be here that day, I'm coming down there to bug you. That's for sure.
Yeah, come on down. I'll be there.
Well, I'm glad
the product off for the grand opening.
Yeah, I'm glad they're coming in over here. Now I can stop giving mine away to people.
I think the Novi store, the Dick's Novi store, has picked them up. And I think there may be a couple other Dick's sporting goods stores on the east side that's picked them up for this year, too. So
excellent.
They should have a pretty good presence over there.
Good deal.
You know, and then just... guys that are looking to maybe join the company or have questions about the company, look up Josh Barnett on Facebook, get his email, talk with him. If you have questions on how you can join or just want to talk about the product, give him a call. He's been with me from the start. Great guy, great promoter. He's my right-hand man. You know, he can say yes or no to just about anything. So, get with him if you got questions. That's Josh Barnett. He lives in Ohio. And if you can't find him, if you know somebody who knows 2K, they know Josh. So hook up with him if you're interested in getting on the team. I think that's probably all I got to say, Michael.
All right. Well, I know I appreciate your time. I also know the crew members appreciate the time. I know they're going to be interested in hearing this without a doubt because, I mean, you know, a lot of people just don't know how you got started, why you got started, what you're doing, why you're doing this. And I think this will answer a lot of questions, and it's pretty interesting for a lot of people out there, you know?
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, we run a pretty good-sized business here that a lot of people don't know that we do. We manufacture in-house for about 100 to 200 companies throughout the United States and in Canada. And we're making a lot of product out there that a lot of companies are selling and loving it. And so we got quite a business going on over here. And I just tell people, don't hesitate. You got questions, you want to try the product, you know, look up our retailers, contact our staff members, because you're missing out. You really are if you're not using it. So,
no, you don't.
Do yourself a favor and check it out.
Excellent. You don't sell through the website, but on the website, correct me if I'm mistaken, but we can find online retailers that actually have the product we can order from and where it might be in our neighborhood, right?
Yes. Yep. We do not sell to consumer. And the reason behind that is we push our dealers. We want to sell to the dealers and we want to direct customers there. And that's a big reason why
well, we don't sell direct. We're trying to get to the top of the mountain, and in order to get there, you need to act like you're already there. And a lot of the larger companies, you don't go on their website and buy product. And that's the reason why. It's pushed to distributors. Distributing the product is where this market's at. So, but you can get on our website. You can go to the hookup tab. We have a list of, I think, 4 or 5 different online retailers. Like I said, the Field & Streams are national. We have other retailers, independent retailers throughout the country. They're listed on there. So there's always a place to buy, for sure.
Excellent. Certainly is. And let's see, the website. Give me the website address real quick, then I'll let you go.
It's 2kjigs.com.
Boy, that's pretty simple, huh?
Yeah, well, you can do custom-kickerjigs.com too, but it just takes longer to type it out.
Right. Hey, you had a logo change.
2kjigs.com.
Gotcha. You changed the logo, didn't you? And you're not using the original one. You're using the new one, the block one.
We did. Yep. When we started off, we kind of sketched that fish deal out, and we decided that we need to move to more of a corporate look. So we switched that logo up to 2K Jigs, and I like it a lot better. It looks a little bit more professional. And we're slowly transitioning everybody away from the old logo. So
that's
a little
bit
of marketing behind that.
Yep, that's what I thought. Okay, Mr. Daniel, I appreciate your time. I know the crew members are going to appreciate your time very much. I am going to quit yakking your ear off and let you go. I'll give everybody the website. We'll make sure we get this up and let everybody know that it's available. And, again, I just want to say thanks for your time, man.
Hey, no problem, Mike. I appreciate everything you do for the company, man. And Doc Talk is definitely a great listen, so... If you're hearing this for the first time, you should be listening every time.
The 2K Way is proudly brought to you by Custom Kicker Jigs, Brandy Rocks Productions, and the 2K Crew. Visit www.customkickerjigs.com and see why they are on the path to becoming the number one jig in the country. Simply, Custom Kicker Jigs. When an ounce counts.